Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message. Who's ready for Bible school? Awesome. Praise the Lord. Well, let me just tell you this. I'm a little overwhelmed. I didn't know where to start. It's kind of like the book of Revelations. How many of y'all gotten some things out of the book of Revelations? Hasn't that been good? The Lord has really showed me some things. And I'm telling you, it might be a series that goes till Jesus comes back. I don't know. But I'm okay with it. How about you guys? I didn't know where to start tonight. Me and Pastor Robert got together last week, and I'm telling you, this study of the tabernacle, this is going to open your eyes to some things, especially in studying even the book of Revelation. God put some things in order through this entering of the tabernacle or the tent of meetings of something that he would keep going all throughout Scripture. And it's such a description of Christ, and I didn't know where to begin, and I didn't know where to end. You can just keep going. So this is just an introduction. I'm telling you, I just think about things. I think about the gate of the court. I'm thinking of the altar and the brazen laver, the mercy seat, the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant. All those are blowing my mind. Like, are we going to be able to get done through Christmas, till Christmas? But we'll see. All right, y'all get ready. Your hair slicked back. Let's go. The tabernacle, where heaven met earth. I'm going to do my best tonight to teach and not preach. My gifting is preaching, but I'm going to do my best. I'm thankful for Pastor Robert. Aren't y'all thankful that we have men in our house that are students of the Word? I wanted to start this off tonight. Hi, I'm Travis, and I am addicted to the Word of God. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, as we study this, where heaven met earth, I'm going to tell you, this is like such a topic. I talked about this morning in prayer, that you open the rabbit hole, and you can go your whole life and not find the end of it. I'm telling you, this is a topic that you can be on your deathbed, and I believe God will give you even more revelation of the curtain be pulled back of the tabernacle. So the tabernacle, where heaven met earth. It's a shadow. Go along with us in your notes there. It's a shadow of Jesus Christ and a model for your Christian life. It's a shadow of Jesus Christ and it's a model for your Christian life. You will see that there is a model here for prayer. There is a model for your prayer life inside of the model of the tabernacle. You'll see that there is a model for worship, definitely, in the model of the tabernacle. You'll see that there is a model for giving inside the model of the tabernacle. In fact, my prayers for you is you see this model in this shadow of Jesus Christ, that your prayer life is going to get bigger, that your worship life is going to get bigger, your giving life is going to get bigger, every part of your Christian life. God desires to communicate with his people. Aren't you thankful he just didn't put us on the earth here just to fill up the earth? You go to places like Los Angeles. I've been to places in Africa before where it looked like there's so many people. It's like if you kicked over an anthill, there was ants everywhere. There was just people absolutely everywhere. But how many of y'all know God didn't just put people on the earth to have people? He put people on the earth to worship him and to communicate. Aren't you thankful that you don't serve a gold, fat Buddha that doesn't want to communicate with you, but you serve the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? God desires to communicate with his people. So to study the tabernacle, let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We see all through there, if you read Genesis 1, you see all the creations and everything that he made. On the second day, on the third day, on the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, and on the seventh day, he rested. But in your Bible, go to verse 26 of Genesis 1. It says, "Then God said," I'm reading out of the New King James. I almost went King James Version just to torture you. But how many of y'all thankful I didn't? New King James, Genesis 1, 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image." You are created in the image of Christ. "Greater works must you do." Amen. "According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle." My dad, he takes this verse very serious. He's a fisherman. And when he ain't catching, he says, "I don't come to fish, I come to catch. And I'm taking dominion over the fish in this pond. And they will bite this hook in Jesus' name." Right, Jeff? Come on. Sometimes we got to take dominion over things. Those of you cowboys out there, hey, don't you know you got to take dominion over cattle sometimes? Kelly, you got an amen. All right. "Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. "Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply." That was a word for somebody tonight. This young couple right over here. God said, be fruitful and multiply. This is Bible school. Don't be hating on the teacher right now. You're getting an F. You got to do what the word says. "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given you every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God said, everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." God's desire for us is for us to have dominion over things of this earth. God's desire for us was to communicate with him. God's desire for us was for us to be close to him. It says in your notes, God made man in his image and communicated with him in the cool of the evening daily. How many of y'all know God's desire and your desire is to be that we communicate with God on a daily basis? Not on a Sunday morning basis or on a Wednesday night Bible school, but on a daily basis. It's God's desire to have a relationship with you on a daily basis. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. Go over two pages. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." You know what happened? Eve messed it up for all of us. Just making sure you guys are paying attention. She ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a direct disobedience. It was sin. So how many of y'all know this? Sin separates us from God. We know it from Isaiah, I think 59. We also know that from Ephesians chapter 2. We also know that from Ephesians chapter 4. That sin will separate you from God. In Romans chapter 6, I think, it says the wages of sin is what? It's death. So what happened in this particular text? When he ate, when he disobeyed what God had in store for him, sin entered the heart of man. And how many of y'all know everything comes at a price? Everything comes at a price. You need to know that in your spiritual life. You also need to know that in your physical life. Everything costs you something, or it's costing somebody something. There ain't nothing that's free. Not even when they, you know what I'm talking about. Buy one, get one free. Yeah, right. You're paying for it, I promise. So man disobeyed God, and sin entered the world. Right? So the intimate commune that man and God once shared was destroyed. And God sent them out of the Garden of Eden. Sin brings death and requires blood. Sin brings death and requires blood. Sin cannot be in the presence of God because of His holiness. Aren't you thankful that we serve an omnipotent God? We serve a holy God who was tempted in all three ways as man was, but didn't fall to any of them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But we serve a holy God. So what happens here? Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now I want to just stop right here. Sin entered the world, and sin brings death and requires blood. We see that in this text, that they now see themselves as naked. And so something had to die in order to clothe them. Something had to die. So I want you to just see something has to die. I'm telling you, you need to see this as a shadow in your walk with Christ. The better spiritual life that you're going to have, you're going to have to die to your flesh. You're going to have to die to the world. You're going to have to die to some things. But also, too, looking and pointing at Jesus, aren't you thankful that He died for your sins? Aren't you thankful for that? In the story of Saul, y'all know the story of Saul, 1 Samuel. It's all right if we take rabbit trails tonight. This is Bible school. When Samuel the prophet anointed Saul to be king, he anointed him, the Bible says, from a flask of oil and anointed his head. He anointed him from a flask of oil. But when he anointed David, it was a ram's horn. I'm just here to tell you, there's a bigger anointing when something dies. Who was David? David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says in Acts. God's own heart. But when Samuel anointed Saul, you look it up. He anointed him from the horn of a ram's horn that was oil in there and poured it over his head. I'm telling you, there's a bigger anointing that comes when something dies. And I'm telling you, you want an anointing on your life, something needs to die. Everything comes at a price, right? So God, being omnipotent, knew that man would fall before He made him. So He prepared a system of worship, sacrifice, and laws. He prepared a system of worship, of sacrifice, and laws that He dictated to Moses on Mount Sinai so that he could commune with his creation through the tabernacle and all it entails. It only covered sin. It didn't remove it. But Jesus is coming. It only covered sin. It doesn't remove it. It points to the perfect sacrifice, which is God's, that should be capital G, I hope it is on yours, which is God's own Son, Jesus Christ. As we walk through the tabernacle of the wilderness, God is foretold of Jesus Christ in the smallest and largest of details. In the smallest and largest of details. Now, I'm looking through this here of all the different things and how it points back to Christ. Some of you have studied this before, but the bronze altar, I shared a little bit about this Sunday morning, but just as the high priest, as he would walk into the gate, I'm trying not to do my best to not just open the floodgates of the tabernacle, but as he would walk in, he would sacrifice something. Blood would be spilled. There would be an altar. Then he would go to the laver and he would wash his hands. So the first one represents blood being poured out is what? Salvation. When we give our life to Christ, blood is poured out. The second one was washing of the hands is what? With water, it means baptism. And the last part, anointing, or even looking at the altar of incense, of intercession, we see so many things here. But he goes into another spirit realm. It represents the three commissions that God has called us as a church to do. is to get people saved. Blood has to be spilled. Number two, baptism. People need to be baptized. The Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. It also tells us to baptize them. And number three, the third thing, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The third thing is we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of speaking in tongues. How many of y'all know that gift is for everybody? How many of y'all been on prayer in the mornings, 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I hope you guys been getting something out of that. He wants to give all of you a word of wisdom. He wants to give all of you a word of knowledge. He wants to give all of you the gift of faith and the gifts of healing. Amen? But as we walk through the tabernacle of the wilderness, God has foretold Jesus Christ in the smallest and largest of details. As you look at the laver, as you look at the table of showbread, how many of y'all know he's the bread? He is the living word. He's the bread of life for us. He's the lampstand. He's the light of the world. Everything points back to redemption. Everything points back to Jesus all throughout the tabernacle here. God truly desires to be face to face in intimate communion with each and every one of us. Aren't you thankful for that? Your homework is going to be this, Exodus 25 through 30. You say, Pastor, I don't know how to read. Well, get you a Bible app and it'll read it to you. Right? And you can act like you're going through your Bible. And I'm telling you, there's no excuses for it. But Exodus 25 through 30, God gives Moses this blueprint. Blueprint and instruction for building the tabernacle. And this is during Moses' 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai. I mean, y'all know he went once before. He gave him the Ten Commandments. Then he went once again and he wrote it down for him. I'm telling you, if you're going to remember something, you need to write it down. Even God knew that. He said, Moses, you're going to forget, so I'm going to write it down on stone. Bring stone if you have to and write it on stone. All right? So let's go here. Who built it? In Exodus 31, 1 through 11, we're about to go there, so if you want to go there in Exodus 31, God speaks of a special appointed individual named Bezalel. Now, raise your hand if you know who Bezalel is. All right, that's why we're at Bible school. In Exodus 35 through 39 is the construction of the tabernacle. Can I just go ahead and point this out there, and we're going to look at this, but I'm telling you there is attention to detail. Can I tell you that's why it's important that believers and Christians need to do things in excellence? Because we serve a God of excellence. We don't need to do things half-hearted. Amen? Us as believers, we ought to be the best horseshoers. We ought to be the best electricians. We ought to be the best plumbers. We ought to be the best at everything. You know why? Because greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And we see here, you're about to see in Exodus 35 to 39, the construction of the tabernacle and all the specific details of God was so detailed on even how far apart he wanted the furniture. The first piece of furniture that was there, the second piece of furniture that was there, the coverings that were over it. There's so much, the color of what he wanted them to be. The name Bezalel means in the shadow of God. In the shadow of God. But listen to this. His helper here, Aholiab. Isn't it amazing how things just go back to it? How Genesis backs up Revelation. How Revelation backs up the book of Ezekiel. All through the Word of God. This is a living, I'm telling you, this is a living organism right here. It's a living organism. But Aholiab, his name means the tent of his father. That's the name of his. How many of y'all know God has ordained us from the day of our birth for the thing God has in store for us to the day we die? And from the very moment he was born, Aholiab, his name meant the tent of his father. How ironic is it that he's going to build a tent for his father? Exodus 31, let's go. You guys getting anything so far? This is just an introduction. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, not him, but Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship to design artistic works. You know what I encourage you business owners to do in the morning? Say, God, I believe you have filled me with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. How many of y'all know God, in each and every one of us, there is a purpose for our life. There is a purpose for your life to build the kingdom of God. I don't believe this is just for Bezalel, because if Bezalel didn't rise up, God would have found another Bezalel. It's just like when Mordecai told Esther, said, if you don't tell him, I'll find somebody else who will. There'll be somebody. So listen, it says, design artistic works to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meetings, or the tent of meetings, if you're in the King James, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priest, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded you, they shall do. I want you to see the attention to detail here in all of this that we're about to read. Now go down to Exodus chapter 36 and verse 1. It says, Bezalel and Aholiab, and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord has put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for service of the sanctuary, shall do according to all that the Lord has commanded. I mean, y'all know we need to be obedient to all that he has commanded us to do. So to build the tabernacle today, I read a commentary about this. I've seen several different, but to build the tabernacle today with the same materials, it would cost over $1 million. $1 million. So where did all the material for the tabernacle come from? Exodus 25. This is good. Exodus chapter 25. Go ahead and go there. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. Pastor, you're always talking about money. Well, it goes all the way back to the book of Exodus here. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take the offering. Now look at this. How many of y'all know when you give, it needs to come from the heart? If you're still holding on to it, you ain't giving it with a willing heart. If you're still holding on to it, you're like, just keep it. I promise you. But I'm telling you, you say, Lord, I know you will supply all my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I will say to the Lord that you're my refuge and you're my fortress. It's in you I will put my trust. I'm telling you, I believe God will protect his people, no matter who's president. God will supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. So he says, with a willing heart, take that offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them. I love this, that it's specific. Gold, silver, and bronze. Don't you know we ought to give God our best? Blue, purple, and scarlet thread. Now, I just can't wait. I know we're going to go into what all these mean, the meanings of this. And I'm telling you, y'all hold on, because there's going to be so much that come from this. Ain't that right, Pastor Robert? And scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair. Goat's hair. Ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood. Oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. You know what the tent of meetings is? It's a sanctuary where God can dwell among his people. Amen? How many of y'all want tonight and every day God to dwell among you and your people? According to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. I want you to see it right here. The material came from the people. It came from the people. How many of y'all know, every one of you out there that's sitting in the chair, God has called you to build the kingdom of God. God has called you with your gifts and your talents, but also things in your life, money, to build the kingdom of God. Now let's look at this. Where did they get all the material if the Israelites had just come out of 400 years of slavery with the Egyptians? We know this, that the 10 plagues, if you read the book of Exodus, he says, let my people go, right? He says, let my people go, and you know what happens with that. They cross the Red Sea. And so where did they get the material? Let's look at this. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, so I will stretch out my hand. Go ahead and go there, Exodus 3:20. It says, so I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. Come on, how many of y'all know he will rebuke the devourer for your sake, the Bible says. How many of y'all know that the people of God have favor on its life? It says, and I will give this people favor. You know what favor does? It unlocks doors and it shuts doors that need to be shut. It will unlock doors of favor of people that need to be in the right place at the right time. They may have been in a bad situation, and I'm here to tell you right now, you might be in a bad situation, but the favor of God be on you, and I'm telling you, he'll shut a door that needs to be shut, and he can open doors that need to be open. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now listen to verse 35, Exodus 12. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor. This is crazy. They are enslaved to these people. That's what favor does. They are enslaved to the Egyptians. They're enslaved to favor, to Pharaoh, not favor. And the Lord had given people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Can I tell you this? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Amen? I was telling you guys a little bit about this, but Kent Christian prophesied in 2018. He prophesied that there would be a political stance that would come over the United States in the next couple years. And he was talking about the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. There's many things that he prophesied in that, but he said that there would be, he called it out, the National Football League. He said, watch it crumble to the ground. And I'm here to tell you, we'll take Jerry Jones' money. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. He foretold the event. He prophesied it. I'm telling you, as you begin to see this, we know this from study that the tabernacle was built approximately 1440 BC. 1440 years before Christ, and it is such a perfect description of Jesus. Isn't it amazing? God can give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to help direct of where we need to go. Then he said to Abram, Genesis 15:13. He said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. What land is not theirs? Egypt. Who said it? Very good. Thank you, Pastor Michelle. Oh, you did. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. See, he's prophesying this. And will serve them. They served him 400 years. And they will afflict them for 400 years. wouldn't you like to be the guy to tell them, hey, we're going to end up in Egypt for 400 years? But it says, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And it's amazing how it came to pass. This was when he was making his covenant, obviously, with Abraham. Now I want to look at the 12 tribes of Israel. So we see why we have the tabernacle. We see, where the money is going to come from to build the tabernacle. We see what's inside the tabernacle. We see different things. When you read Exodus 25 through 30, you'll see all the intricate details, and we're going to go over those particular things. But now I want you to look at this of who, all right, and what this goes back to. It goes back to the 12 tribes of Israel. We know that Jacob had 12 sons. And we read in Numbers chapter 2, and you can go back and look at this. You can go back and read this, but it's very detailed of where this tent of meeting was. He wanted his people to be lined up at a particular place. And it always led with the tribe of Judah, was always in the lead. And it's the same way in your life. You know what Judah means? It means praise. And I'm telling you, if you want to open up a sanctuary for God to do something big in your life, that's why he says, magnify the Lord with me, we'll exalt his name forever. Let his praise shall continually be on your lips. The tribe of Judah was in lead for a reason, because he's showing us and painting a picture that in your life you need to lead with praise. You know, there's a lot of garbage that's going on in the world today, but I'm telling you, if you lead with praise, you'll continually remember that he died, he was buried, and he rose again. There's a lot of things to continue to be thankful for. So let's lead with praise. But we see here the 12 tribes of Israel. He said on the north, I want the tribe of Naphtali. On the north, the tribe of Asher. On the north, the tribe of Dan. We see in Numbers chapter 2, he said, on the east, I want the tribe of Issachar, whatever. The tribe of Judah. The tribe of Zebulun. In the south, I want the tribe of Gad. I want the tribe of Simeon. I want the tribe of Reuben. In the west, I want the tribe of Benjamin. I want the tribe of Manasseh, which is Joseph. And the tribe of Ephraim, which this would be a son of Joseph. So you see that in Numbers chapter 2. But one tribe that we are missing is the tribe of the Levites, the son of Levi. Let's take a good look at the Levites tonight. They were a tribe that did not inherit land, but they were separated for the service of the Lord. That was their inheritance. Isn't that a good inheritance to have? Separated for the things of God. It says in Deuteronomy 18:1, it says the priests, the Levites, all the tribe of Levi, shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. So all these other tribes that I just talked to you about of Numbers chapter 2, they have an inheritance of a place where they're supposed to be on the north, south, east, and west of this tent of meetings, but not the tribe of Levi. They have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire in his portion. Therefore, they shall have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he said to them. Now let's look at these three families that were in charge of setting up and traveling with the tabernacle. These families were part of the Levites. All of this, pay attention to detail, Because we ought to have the heart of a Levite on the inside of us. The heart of a worshiper. So on the west side, he tells a particular family or tribe of Levi, he tells the Gershonites, he tells them to be on the west side by the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Manasseh, and the tribe of Benjamin. It says from Gershon, this is Numbers 3, 1, 21 through 26. From Gershon came the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These were the families of the Gershonites. Oh Lord. Those who were numbered according to the number of all the males from a month old and above. And of those who were numbered, there were 7,500. In an amazing attention to detail. The family of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward. And the leader of the father's house of the Gershonite was Eliasaph, the son of Leal. I wonder if he cooked Mexican food. I don't know if he did. We not have it anymore? It's gone. It's a sad day in Amarillo. The duties of the children of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting included the tabernacle, the tent with its coverings, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meetings, the screen for the door of the court, the hangings of the court which are around the tabernacle and the altar, and their cords according to all that work relating to them. So what they do, they set up the basic structure of the tabernacle, the gates, the different layers that went over even the Holy of Holies. They brought the coverings. Now the next group we see are the Kohathites. He said, I want you to be on the south end by the families of the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Simeon, and the tribe of Reuben. From Kohath, this is Numbers 3, 27 through 31. Is this too much scripture for y'all? You can go back. No, this is Bible school. What am I talking about? From Kohath came the family of the Amramites. The family of the Izrahites, the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Hallelujah. Anybody got that interpretation? When you read this to yourself before you get up in front of the congregation, it sounds better in your head. I'm just going to throw that out there. All right? I'm going to have to listen to Siri and see what she says. She'll say it in an English accent. I won't be able to understand her anyway. These were the families of the Kohathites, according to the number of all the males. From a month old and above, there were 8,600 keeping charge of the sanctuary. The families of the children of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle. And the leader of the father's house of the families and the Kohathites was Hallelujah. The son of Uzziel. Whatever he is. She, I don't know. Their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils of the sanctuary with which they ministered, the screen, and all the work relating to them. Pastor, why are you saying all these things? I'm saying these things, attention and detail, especially for those of you that serve. Because you have a leader, and you might call him Moses, and you think, why in the world do we have to do it that way? I'm telling you, it goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. We do way things for a certain reason, the way God told us to do it. And the heart of a servant says, I don't care how I want to do it. I'll do it however you want to do it, God, or however you, leader, want to do it. Amen? Some of you are saying amen. Others, all the leaders were like, amen, yes. Other of you are like, shut up. Amen. There you go, JC. Now you have to go through with it. We'll see. Next group are the Merarites. He said, I want you to be on the north side with the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Dan. From Merari, that sounds like a car, doesn't it? All right. Came the family of the Mahlites. This is Numbers 3:33. And the family of the Mushites. Oh, Lord. Wouldn't you like to be a Mushite? Oh, Lord. These were the families of Merari. And those who were numbered, according to the number of all the males from the month old and above, were 6,200. The leader of the father's house of the families of Merari was Zerel, the son of Abihel. These were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle, and the appointed duty of the children of Merari included the boards in the tabernacle. So the basic structure, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, its utensils, and all the work relating to them. And I'm here to tell you, I'm just giving you an introduction tonight because its bars have meaning. Its pillars have meaning. Its sockets have meaning. Its utensils have meaning. And the work relating to them and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets, their pegs, and their cords. Now let's go to Numbers chapter 3 and verse 32. On the eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking. All right. He said, I want Moses, I want Aaron and the sons. And their sons, I want them to be on the east side, where the tribe of Issachar is, the tribe of Judah, and the tribe of Zebulun. It says in Numbers 3:32, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, was the chief over the leaders of the Levites, with oversight of those who kept charge of the sanctuary. Verse 38, move down to 38. Moreover, those who were to camp before the tabernacle in the east, before the tabernacle of meetings, were Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Keeping charge, this is the high priest here, keeping charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel, but the outsider who came near was to be put to death. This was nothing to mess around with. This was nothing to play with. This was the very presence of God. Moses, Aaron, and his sons, they stayed on the east side where the gate was. Aaron was in charge of the offerings and the proceedings that took place inside the tabernacle. So they were always in front with the tribe of Judah. This next part I want to talk about is found in Numbers chapter 7, 1 through 9. Numbers chapter 7, 1 through 9. Carrying the tent of meetings. So we talked about which ones took care of things, but I want to look at how they used to carry the tabernacle. Now it came to pass when Moses, oh my Lord, it's 7:53. Now it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings. He anointed. How many of y'all know that we need to treat the tent of meetings, or that sanctuary, the house of God, like it is anointed and it is consecrated. Amen? And the altar and its utensils, so he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, and they presented them before the tabernacle. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites, the guys who were that we just talked about. He said, 2 carts and 4 oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon, according to their service, and 4 carts and 8 oxen he gave to the sons of Merari, according to their service, under the authority of Imithar, the son of Aaron, the priest. But listen to this. But to the sons of Kohath he gave none, because there was the service of the holy things, which they carried on their shoulders. I'm telling you, this is a picture for us. What's the song? Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. God wants us to carry the presence of God. He doesn't want other people to do it for us. He doesn't want the weight to just be on the pastor, which I'll tell you, I carry lots of weight. But I want to tell you this, that God, from the very beginning of the book, has desired for you to have such a relationship with Him that He wants you to carry the holy things. Ask yourself that question tonight. Am I a carrier of the holy things of God? That's good. I'll go ahead and amen myself on that. God wants us to be a carrier of the holy things. Amen? So then, now I want you to look at this. Go ahead and put that picture up there. I'm sure all of you have that. Of looking at the Levites. No, the next one. Of the tribes. Right there. So you see here, there's the tent of meetings in the middle. You see that the tribe of Judah is in the lead, and they're the biggest. In fact, you look at the numbers over here, they're the longest. Now, if you're looking at this, this be the longest. 35,000, 32, 40,000, it'd be kind of shorter. And this side right, and the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Dan, now they're in the 50s and 60s, still not as big as Judah, Zebulun, and Issachar. And now you see down here, they're the same as up there. It's long, it's short, and it's in the middle on both sides here. 1,400 years before the cross, it was a perfect picture of the cross. 1,400 years before. You see the gate? There's only one way to Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There was only one way in, and there's only one way out. And it always faced to the east. Where's Jesus coming back from? He's coming back from the east. I'm telling you, this is just the tip of the iceberg of revelation that comes from the tabernacle. What I love about our church is that the podium or the altar faces to the east. I want to be in church when Jesus comes back. We'll just be looking this way. Amen? Isn't that good? Now let's look at the tabernacle put together. This is just another intro. Pastor Robert, how am I doing? All right. It's 7:58. 2 minutes to read 17 verses. Exodus 40, 1 through 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meetings. On the first day of the first month. You know what we ought to do? At the first hour of the first day. He's painting a picture here. Right? He said, first and foremost, the first thing that you do. On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meetings. You shall put in the ark of the testimony and the partitions off the ark with the veil. You shall bring the table and arrange the things that are to be set in order on it. And you shall bring in the lampstand and light its lamps. You shall also set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put up the screen for the door of the tabernacle. Then you shall set the altar of the burnt offering before the door of the tabernacle of the tent of meetings, and you shall set the laver between the tabernacle of meetings and the altar, and put water in it. You shall set up the court all around, and hang up the screen on the court gate. And you shall take the anointing oil, and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is in it. I'm telling you, we don't want to do anything unless it is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you shall hallow it, and in all its utensils, and shall be holy. And it shall be holy. We serve a holy God. This is going to be a holy place. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offerings and all its utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy, and you shall anoint the laver and its base and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anoint their father, that they may minister to me as priests. For their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Thus Moses did according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And it came to pass in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, that the tabernacle was raised up. So let's look at that picture of the tabernacle in the slide before. So this is what we're going to be looking at right here. The gate, the altar, the laver. There is seven furnishings. What's the number of seven? Completion. Altar, laver, lampstand, table of showbread, altar of incense, the ark, and the mercy seat is on top of the ark. The court, everything about it. This is worship. So the beginning, when you first walk in, it deals with sin before you go in to the secret place. The veil. You know, lots of people, we know from the movies when Jesus died on the cross that the veil was torn. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a revelation of what Jesus did for us, the veil being torn. Now, what does he want? He wants us to be a living tabernacle. He wants us to be a living sanctuary. We need to deal with sin, right? We need to deal with sin. We need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be a light in the world. We need to be not only Christ in us, that table of bread, but also we need to be that for other people. There's so much in this. I can't wait for Pastor Robert and I together to share this with you guys. Did y'all get a good introduction tonight? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many of y'all be here next week? All right. Listen, one of the things that we're going to do, we're going to have something special. For those of you that make it to all of them, we're going to give you how many graces? Did we say two graces? We know that things happen on Wednesday night. But we're going to give you like a diploma for those of you that make it to all of them. But how many? I want to be here for all of them. I want to know. like I said, hi, my name's Travis, and I'm addicted to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your Word. We thank you that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, I just pray that right now, God, we get an agreement, and I pray for a fresh revelation to come over these students. Lord, all of us as students of your Word, Lord, I pray that it would make their prayer life bigger and better. I pray, Lord, that it would make their worship life bigger and better. That it make their giving life bigger and better. Lord, as we see a revelation of Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for us, that dealt with these things so that we didn't have to. But God, we thank you that you removed that sin. You forgave us of our sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But tonight, we thank you, Lord, for your Word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. Lord, together tonight, we just pray for this great country we live in. We pray for America. We get in agreement right now. And God, we pray that your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we just pray from the northwest to the southeast and the north east to the southwest, that the fire of God would burn bright. Lord, I pray that churches, Lord, that the oil of the Lord would be poured out. Lord, I know that lamps are burning out all across this nation, but Lord, I pray that Arena of Life would be a lamp that the oil would be poured in. Lord, as we come here tonight hungry for the Word of God, that spiritual growth comes in this place, that the oil of the Lord is poured out. And Lord, tonight, we just pray that all across America that there is churches that are praying, that there's churches that are not gathering but assembled together, working for the kingdom of God. Lord, we choose to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Lord, we just thank you for those kings, officials, leaders, our president, our vice president. We pray for senators, House of Representatives. We pray for governors and mayors. Lord, I just pray for remnants of people that you're putting in the right place at the right time for such a time as this. That would speak the truth in love. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.